welcome to the Unveiled Christ to the World broadcast with Reverend Judith Ann Glass. For over 40 years, the prophetic ministry of Brother and Sister Glass have gone around the world bringing the living Word of God to multiply thousands of people. Get ready to receive a fresh message of faith and hope that will bring you into new dimensions of the love of God. You can be that overcomer God has called you to be as you behold Him, the Unveiled Christ, in all of His matchless glory. Listen now to the whole Word for the whole man to the whole world, ministered in the power and anointing of God's Holy Spirit.
You don't have any problem that a miracle from God can't solve. Greetings, beloved. This is Sister Judith, and I welcome you to the broadcast today. We're continuing on in a message entitled The Preparation of the Priesthood. And as I laid a foundation, I've said that your role assignment, your charge is that, according to Jesus, as John addressed in that first chapter of Revelation, we're kings. Jesus has made us kings and priests unto our God. He's loved us, washed us from our sins in His own blood, and has made us kings and priests unto our God. Praise God. And so we're looking at Zechariah, the third chapter, those first seven verses, of the symbolic and spiritual significance for us today of what happened in this night vision that Zechariah received regarding Joshua. He was being fitted or prepared for his priestly office. This historically was a time the Jews were being returned to Jerusalem. There was a rebuilding of the temple. Historically, there's references in Haggai and Ezra 5 and 6 as far as historical background. But at this point, we're looking at this one vision that Zechariah was given. Here we've got Joshua. There was the angel of the Lord, which is Jesus. And then Satan was at the right hand of Joshua to resist him. And verse 2, let's read that. The Lord said unto Satan, "The Lord rebuke thee, O Satan, even the Lord that hath chosen Jerusalem rebuke thee. Is not this a brand plucked out of the fire?" Who was he talking about? He was talking about Joshua, the priest. He was like a brand in the fire. And that brand, according to Webster, it's a charred piece of wood, a firebrand or a burning piece of wood. And we might suggest that this is his flesh nature. You know, a brand is a fit subject for the fire. Fire-like sin usually has small beginnings. We know that by one man, Adam, sin entered in the entire world, and every human being after the time of Adam and Eve has been corrupted by that original sin nature. Why? Because we're just children. We're children of our first parents. And a man whose character has become filthy in the light of God becomes a fit subject for the blackening and consuming power of sin. Like a brand, he's helpless in the fire. Makes me think of some comments that James made in the third chapter. Remember, he was talking in verse 5, "Even so, the tongue is a little member and boasteth great things. Behold, how great a matter a little fire kindleth. And the tongue is a fire, a world of iniquity. So is the tongue among our members, and it defileth the whole body, and it setteth on fire the course of nature, and is set on the fire of hell." And so, beloved, this Joshua was not in a very good place. This is all he was good for. He was being compared to someone that's been blackened and consumed by the power of sin. And beloved, we are helpless in ourselves. We can't change our nature. We get a new nature in Christ Jesus. When we're saved, we immediately become righteous. We can never become more righteous in terms of our standing with God. Yet there is a work of sanctification. There's a daily walk of dying to self, of dying to our flesh nature, that we are to learn obedience by the things we go through, by the things we suffer, even as Jesus did. And you know, I mean, I don't know if any of you have a fireplace or a stove. I've had occasions in, well, goodness, the last number of years where I'm living presently, I have a wood stove, and we use that up here in Idaho. It's a way, I mean, the electricity is pretty high, and so, you know, I've got 5 cords of wood. I mean, that's pretty much is going to help take you through the winter. At any rate, sometimes if you've had this personal experience, you might be, you know, looking to your stove, looking to your fireplace, there's still Oh, a piece of wood that hasn't burned fully yet? Well, you know, it's not been fully consumed and it will burn, but you need to get a good fire started. I mean, it's not very good for starting a fire. And so to have Joshua compared to a brand plucked out of the fire, not much to offer. So, and of course, we have to understand in a historical sense, this phrase, a brand plucked out of the fire, refers to Israel having been saved out of Babylonian captivity. Or it also could perhaps recall God's merciful deliverance of his people from Egypt when Israel's oppression under Egyptian bondage was likened to a furnace. For example, let me give you that reference, Deuteronomy 4:20. The word says, "But the Lord hath taken you and brought you forth out of the iron furnace, even out of Egypt, to be unto him a people of inheritance as ye are this day." So what have we seen? That he was being resisted by Satan. He was as a brand plucked out of the fire, charred, dirty, blackened. He had filthy garments. Well, that's not surprising if he was as a brand plucked out of the fire. Now, we know that when Jesus saves us, we become a new creature in him, and he clothes us with new garments. This is such a beautiful example. We're clothed with the garments of salvation, the garments of righteousness, as well as garments of praise. We have a whole wardrobe that God's given us. But the fact is, here we see Joshua, and with this is, I'm making it apply to us, not just, you know, not historical reference as much as that we are as one who's escaped from the fire. And that dirty clothing signifies the iniquity of our sin nature. And, you know, Joshua is basically helpless. He can't do anything about that, just as we can't. But we have this treasure in earthen vessels, that the excellency of the power may be of God and not of us. God working in us both to will and to do of his good pleasure. We just have to be willing to allow the cleansing work of the Holy Spirit to take control in our lives and to do that work of growth and maturity. Look, I don't know how long some of you may have walked with the Lord, sometimes maybe decades. Some of you might be relatively young and new in the Lord. And yet, think back to when you first got saved. Don't you see the changes? Sometimes it's hard to measure those changes ourselves. But if you really reflect and look how God has changed your very character. Why? Because, that, you know, that's the purpose of fivefold ministry. Ephesians talks about that, that we might come into the unity of the faith. That's only a work the Holy Spirit can accomplish, because man certainly can't do it. We've got a bunch of denominations to prove it. You know, what a travesty that is for the unbeliever. It's like, okay, like, I want to become a Christian. Where do I fit? Where do I go? Which church? You know, which denomination? Who's got the truth? Anyway, I won't go off on that. But at any rate, we see Joshua with filthy garments, and if you will, those garments, we wear clothes. I'm speaking in a natural sense. Why we wear clothing? For a lot of reasons, to cover nakedness, that's modesty, but also to keep warm, especially in colder climates. So the garments, if you will, represent an outward and visible expression of character, a representation, if you will, of his character, but ours as well, if you please. And so when our outward life, our acts, our deeds, the things we do, condemn our profession and confession, well then, beloved, our garments become unclean and we become unfit for his holy service. Think about that. This is the spiritual significance, if you will, of those filthy garments. Well, if we're not careful, that, you know, we can be in the same situation as Joshua. James 1:27 says, "Pure religion and undefiled before God is this, to keep himself unspotted from the world." Beloved, we're called to walk in white, in that white which is the purity and righteousness of the saints, to keep our garments unspotted from the world. And so this was the situation he was in. Now, thank goodness, thank the Lord, he doesn't leave us there. Joshua is really doing nothing. The wonderful part about this, he's just standing there, and let's look at this amazing, wonderful thing that occurs. Let's look at the manner of his deliverance. We've looked at the situation he's in. We've looked at his condition, and now we want to see what happens. He was unfit, but what happens now? This is a scene, of course, in the heavenlies. Let me read now. Verse 3, Joshua was clothed with filthy garments and stood before the angel, that's the angel of the Lord, and he answered and spake unto those that stood before him, speaking to those surrounding him, take away the filthy garments from him. And unto him he said, now he's speaking to Joshua, addressing him, behold, this is the Lord, I have caused thine iniquity to pass from thee, and I will clothe thee with a change of raiment. He's referring to that new nature, those new garments. And the angel of the Lord stood by. And think of this, that our Jesus, our deliverer, stands by to see that Satan is resisted and that his efforts fail. And that when we become unclean or disqualified, if you will, because of allowing our garments to be stained, that God might, by the all-sufficient grace of God, will cleanse and restore us. Here we see a beautiful picture of grace reigning. So we see Joshua's forgiven. Verse 4, I have caused thine iniquity to pass from thee. Forgiveness, beloved, is our first need as sinners, and our first need as backsliders. It's possible to backslide in heart. You might still be going to church, but that first love could have grown cold. Because all sin, beloved, is against God. Sin is the transgression of his love and his law. If we lose our fellowship with God, we lose our power for him. But we have a God who is ready to pardon. Psalm 86 and 5 says, for thou, Lord, art good and ready to forgive and plenteous in mercy unto all them that call upon thee. Praise God. Well, I wish I had another half hour, but I must bring this broadcast to a close. Thank you for joining me today. We're going to continue on tomorrow's broadcast. I invite you to write. I invite you to listen. Thank you so much for your prayers, your love gifts, and until tomorrow, this is Sister Glass saying, may God's best forever be yours, is my prayer.
Well, this has been the Unveiled Christ to the World broadcast with Sister Glass. Thank you for spending time with us. We pray it's been a time of ministry and encouragement for you. If you would like to write to Sister Glass, there are a couple of ways you can do so. You can write and address your envelope to Post Office Box 577, Caldwell, Idaho. 83606 is the zip code. Or visit our website, unveiledchrist.org, and drop Sister Glass an email. Again, write to Post Office Box 577, Caldwell, Idaho. 83606. Or send her an email through our website, unveiledchrist.org. And please remember that your prayers and tax-deductible support allow this ministry to continue on this station. Until next time, God bless. Oh,